Morning, everyone. Daf Nun Daled. We started the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Gimel and Beis. If you've been following the Mishnayos that we've been doing up until this point in time, through the fourth Perek, so a big topic has been Bittul, has been how to nullify Avodah Zarah. So as we already know, we can't nullify Avodah Zarah. Jews do not have the ability to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. Once an Avodah Zarah is owned by a Jew, so a Jew can't do Bittul. In theory, a Jew could do Bittul to Avodah Zarah if it's owned by a non-Jew. But as we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, that Jews just simply can't do Bittul. That is the end of that discussion. Goyim, however, can do Bittul. Not only can Goyim do Bittul on Avodah Zarah, but a Goy could be Mavato on Avodah Zarah even if the Avodah Zarah does not belong to him. If it belongs to another Ovid Avodah Zarah, another idolater, still, a non-Jew could be Mavato, as we've seen already through the Gemara. How to do Bittul? So that we've discussed in the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah on Nun Beis, the Mishnah on Nun Gimel, discussed exactly how to do Bittul. It seems to be from the Mishnah on Nun Gimel that you have to do a maisa. You have to do an action to the Avodah Zarah to deface, defigure, deform the Avodah Zarah. The Mishnayos give example of Kata Rosh and cutting off the head, the head of the ear, the head of the head of the nose. You have to do some sort of disfiguration. Denting the Avodah Zarah is for sure an act of Bittul. The Gemara qualified yesterday, has to be done in the face. What about them selling their Avodah Zarah? Controversial, debatable whether or not selling an Avodah Zarah is an act of Bittul that we also discussed yesterday as well. What if they just simply give up hope on the Avodah Zarah? They don't believe in it anymore. So there, it's not as clear cut when exactly that point in time comes. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday that even if they urinate on their Avodah Zarah, that's not a big deal. Not because urination on something is not an act of repudiation, but as we discussed yesterday, it could be that they're just temporarily angry with their Avodah Zarah. They don't really mean to totally dismiss their Avodah Zarah. We start now, we'll continue in the next Mishnah, where Nun Gimel Amud Beis.
But you say a goy can battle somebody else's. Another goy. What does that mean? That the idol is not an idol to anybody anymore? Or just to that goy?
No, it seems...
It's not an idol for anybody.
Seems like the former, not like the latter. It seems like it's gone.
It's gone for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Pashas in the Mishnah. On Nun Beis Amud Beis.
Sounds strange that he can do that.
Can the first goy go back and take it? And
yeah, and then he could, you know, he could say, look, I'm...
And you have to break off the other ear.
It sounds very strange.
Right. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does sound strange. Agreed.
What is the reason for the Gezeirah that Rabbanan put for Jews not being able to...
Because we know that if a Jew owns an Avodah Zarah, so that is not... That has to be put in Geniza. That's the halacha. We learned it out from the Pasuk B'Sam B'Seser. So the rabbis were worried that if a Jew is Mevato on Avodah Zarah, before he's Mevato, the first thing he'll do is to pick it up. And once he picks it up and once he makes a kinyan, so then he can't be mevatel, period. So the Chachamim were concerned that even though he didn't pick it up, but he may come to the point of wanting to pick it up, or not even wanting to, but just, you know, picking it up. So therefore, the Chachamim said, Jews cannot do an act of bittul. Okay, it's the Gzeirah D'Rava we learned earlier. Okay. Mishnah. They leave their Avodah Zarah. We talked about this yesterday a little bit in the Braisa on the bottom of the page. On the bottom we talked about where he used his idol as collateral, where a house fell on it, right? Where they left it. Right? They move away and they left it. And if you remember yesterday we said that's not a terribly big deal, meaning they may come back for it. Here, however, it's a time of peace, and they don't plan on coming back, and they're moving away, and there's no reason why they would leave their Avodah Zarah other than they just gave up on it. So that's an act of Bittul. B'shas Melchama, however, it's B'shas Melchama, if it's during wartime, so then it's then the Avodah Zarah is still also, because they only ran away because they were scared, but they're going to come back for the Avodah Zarah. Bimosiyosha malachem hare elu mutaros mimneshe ma'amidim oso b'shas shahamalachem ovdim. pedestals. Pedestals of kings are permissible because they're mamed, they set them up at the time when the king goes by. What's going on over here? Look at Rashi. Rashi on the Mishnah. Mimoso shamalachim. Amnegazes hamusukanim baderech mahalech hamelech. These are stone platforms. They are set up on the way when the king walks by. Ukisha hamelech over. Moshivim sham avodes kochavim v'hu mishtachev Allah. And here's what happens. The king walks through town and there's a path, a particular path the king walks by. They put the idols on the pedestals. And as the king walks by, and the king bows down to them. Now the Mishnah says these pedestals are fine; they're not a problem. And then the Mishnah says, "Mimnesha ma'amidim osal klomar." Look at the next Rashi. Mimnesha tzarich la'amida b'shashamach marvim she'ena muchanim samoshav avodas kochav min kol sha'a. It's not used full time; it's used only when the kings go by. Ela la'osar sha'a, just for that one time. And Rashi says, when you're reading the Mishnah, we're all a little bit confused now. Because part-time, full-time, what difference does it make? It's sometimes used as a pedestal, as a base for Avodah Zarah. We would call this Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, right? Accessories to an Avodah Zarah. And the Mishnah says it's fine. And when you look at the Mishnah, you're like, why? Why should it be fine? Well, and Rashi later on will point out the Gemara is going to be bothered by this because the obvious question is, it shouldn't be fine. Even if it's just part-time usage as a pedestal for an idol, it doesn't sound like it should be fine. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says it's fine.
These are pedestals. What are they for? You
put the idol on the pedestal.
The pedestal stays there all year round?
Yeah. Not used for an idol all year round. Just used for when the king comes into town.
Oh, but the pedestal's there all the time?
Pedestal's around all the time, but the idol's only placed on it when the king goes by.
Do you know what's on the pedestal when the idol's not there?
It could be whatever. Again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll understand it a little bit better just simply because the Mishnah says it's fine, and right now we don't understand why it's fine.
The only thing is because it's only of temporary use, it may have less of the
right. Could be, but we never, when we talk about usage for Avodah Zarah, we never count how many times was it used for Avodah Zarah. That distinction never comes up. Again, the Gemara will discuss. I'm Rav Yirmiya Barab, I'm Rav, Beis Nimrod, Harihu Kavodes Kochavim. Shinichu Avdaha, Bishar Shalom Umotar. Beis Nimrod, the house of Nimrod. Look at Rashi over here. This is an exciting Rashi. Beis Nimrod, Migdal Shebanu Dor Haflaga. You know that tower they built? Right, the Tower of Babel. Right, that's what we're talking about. That's Beis Nimrod. So, first of all, it's this week's Parsha, so that's exciting. The Gemara clearly knew, according to Rashi, this is the way Rashi understands the Gemara. The Gemara clearly knew where the Tower of Babel was. Okay, Nimrod, of course, was the head of it all. He was the king of it all, and it was used for Avodah Zarah. Now, again, just based on what we know, the little that we know of Migdal Bavel in this week's Parsha, it was used to be built to wage war against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but as an Avodah Zarah itself, maybe subsequently, maybe. Anyway, however you want to historically explain this, the Gemara says it's like they ran away at peacetime, meaning that it's fine. They all gave up on it. Now, if we do know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chased them away, Gemara says, the Gemara says, yeah, but that's no. Because if they wanted to, they could have easily have come back. And the fact that they didn't come back is a sign that they were mevatel this particular Avodah Zarah. Okay. The Gemara says, I don't understand. It's used as a base for an idol when the king goes go by. And because of that, it's mutter, that doesn't make any sense. The Gemara explains, look, king was supposed to go down one road. And the king said, you know what? Not this time. I'm going to go down another road. And apparently the king would change his path often and didn't care that the idol was set up on this base and therefore I should be walking that way. And apparently, Gemara's not particularly clear about, and so what? But apparently...
He never goes by there.
Right.
Because if he does, then
it's not a real, right. It's not a real Masham Shei Avodah Zarah, says Rashi, because the king doesn't usually go by that area, and so therefore it doesn't really accessorize to the Avodah Zarah.
It's not Kavua.
Right.
No, just usually. He never does. If he does, that's it.
No, well, once.
If he does go.
I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It sounds like from Rashi, like he just doesn't care. Like, that's what it sounds like from Rashi.
Since he doesn't care, it's not Avodah Zarah.
It's not, we're not talking about the actual Avodah Zarah itself. We're talking about just the pedestal for the Avodah Zarah. Right? And you know, in other words, we're propping it up on the pedestal so that the king will see it and king could care less.
Well, here, according to the Meiri, it says if he does go once.
Right. I hear that, and it does make sense, but it doesn't...
You're right,
but it does not sound that way from Rashi. Okay, came and he sat down on a pedestal. And it was a pedestal that was used for Avodah Zarah, but it had a pegima in it. It had a nick, it had a cut, an indentation in it. It was chipped. And he says to him, well, you can't do that. Even though it has a nick on it, even though it has a dent in it, you can't sit on a pedestal that was used for Avodah Zarah. Now we go back to a machlokas that we've seen already a couple of times in the fourth parak. Whether or not when an idol is broken, do the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, do they just simply say, oh good, our God now broke into little gods, and now we're going to go worship the little gods. Now, even though that is subject to a debate, or whether they're Ovdim L'Shvarim or Ein Ovdim L'Shvarim, and even if you want to tell me Ein Ovdim L'Shvarim, Hani Mila Avodah Kochavim, Dezila Beimosa. Look, that's an Avodah Zarah. But over here, Le Miflach L'Shvarim, Avahai Lo Ichbalei. But over here, we're talking about a pedestal. And just because there's a nick in the pedestal doesn't mean that they're giving up on the pedestal. And so therefore, Rav and Shmuel both say, you can't sit on the pedestal. Pedestal is Meshamshei Avodah Zarah. It's an accessory to Avodah Zarah. And it's forbidden. You can't get benefit from it. So the simple act of sitting on the pedestal is not correct. It's not appropriate. It's usur. And the nick doesn't help it. Amalei. So this is Ula hearing now how Rav Yehuda is quoting his Rebbeim, Rav and Shmuel. Right? Rav Yehuda learned by both. And he's quoting his Rebbeim, Rav and Shmuel, and Rav and Shmuel say, you cannot sit on the pedestal even though it has a pegima. Amar Lei, so Ula says very respectfully, Man Yaiv La Me'afad Rav and Shmuel Mal Inan Einayin. If I could take the dirt, the dust of Rav and Shmuel, and if I could put the dirt in my eyes, a reverential way to describe, in other words, they're right, they're unbelievable. However, Ha Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Amitavayu Bimash Nefka Mutter. My Rebbeim, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, they disagree. They say that once the pedestal has a pegima on it, it's going to be mutter, it's going to be permissible. And Afilaman Damar Ovdin L'Shvarim, and even if you take the other position, that when it comes to an Avodah Zarah that breaks, the parts that are broken off are considered still Avodah Zarah, even though it's true, Hanimil Avodah Zarah Dekem Zapal Chazila Be'Milsa. Levitula, because there, by an idol, they want to hold on to that idol. And even though there are chips that came off the idol, but it's part of the idol, and they revere it, and they still want to worship it. But over here, pedestals are replaceable. Gods, right, deities, they're not so replaceable. So a chip that comes off, let's save it. But pedestals, you know, this one's gone. This one's got a little nick in it. Okay, let's move on to the next one. So, good. And so, therefore, according to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, once a pedestal has a nick in it, it's no longer considered Meshamshei Avodah Zarah. We're going to say that there's bittul, that there's going to be nullification of it. mistama, in other words, the non-Jew nullified it, and therefore Ula feels that he was right. I could sit down on the pedestal, not a big deal.
He must be on himself, I mean, because he must focus.
Right, right. No, but he obviously...
I'm saying he's explaining why
right.
It's not an issa, but he shouldn't do it anyway, no?
Okay, he felt it was mutter. He felt it was totally mutter. Tanya Kavasa Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, in fact, we have a b'raisa that supports this as well. Bima Shanifka Mutter. B'raisa says it straight out. When you have a bimus, and there's a pekima, and there's a nick, right? It doesn't say how much, by the way. But if you have a nick in the bimus, that's fine. Mizbeach shenifka master. However, if you have a mizbeach that was used for avodah zarah, a pegima on a mizbeach is still usser, right? Ad shinatates. When it comes to a mizbeach, ad shinatates rubo. Most of the mizbeach has to be destroyed in order for any of the remnants of the mizbeach to become mutter. Heichidami bimus, heichidami mizbeach. The Gemara says, can we be a little bit more clear about the difference between bimus and mizbeach, right? Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, bimus evan achas, mizbeach avanim harbe. When it comes to bimus, it's one stone. And apparently, because it's one stone, once there has a nick in it, a groove in it, right? So therefore, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah will say, okay, let's move on to another one. But this one's no good. But when it comes to a mizbeach, which is a composite of many stones, so a pegima is not a big deal because anyway, it's a composite of many stones. So for that, you need netitsa, you need a total destruction of it. Amar chizkiya maikra, Gemara now will quote a pasuk in Yeshayahu that makes this clear that the part of the definition of a mizbeach is it's made up of multiple stones. The pasuk says, "Besumo kol avnei mizbeach, avnei gir menufatzos, lo yikumu asherim v'chamanim." If there was many avnei mizbeach, many stones to make the mizbeach, kavnei gir, like the stones of chalk. It's funny, gir is like one of those strange words that every kid knows because, you know, you go to school, you go to day school, so you know gir is chalk. Here it's like a chalky type of stone. If it is ground up, so then it's no longer used. And the Gemara just makes that simple drasha. If it's ground up, they don't use it anymore. However, if it's just a little chip or dent or indentation, yikumu, they're still going to use it. Still good. And still good in this case means still aser. Okay. Good. Good. We're going to move on now in the Gemara. Gemara's going to change gears a little bit. Strange how the Gemara switches topics. Not totally. We're still going to be talking about Avodah Zarah today. But from here until the upcoming Mishnah, very interesting topic coming up. Worshipping Avodah Zarah Baal Karcho against your will. Okay? Ones. Ones is the next topic of discussion within the Gemara. Tana. Nevad shelo asav shel chavero mutter. Nevad, says Rashi, bebale chayim hanesar legavoa. We're talking about animals. Now, as we've already discussed, an animal's worship, an animal does not become an avodah zara. Right? Mountains don't become avodah zara. Animals don't become avodah zara. It has to be inanimate objects. They become avodah zara.
So like in India, the cows are not avodah zara now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they like to think so, but the cows do not become prohibited. You can't take that cow and use it for a karban. We don't have a base of mikdash anymore, but...
You could use it for cholin.
But you could absolutely use it for cholin. There is a discussion about using it for mitzvos. Like Sefer Torah, like Tefillin, like Mezuzos, but it's not asur lehajot. It is not prohibited to the common person, to you and me. Nevad shelo asur. If you worship your own cow, that's asur. Shel chavera, but if you worship your friend's cow, it's mutter. Meaning, even to the mizbeach, you cannot affect somebody else's property. Right? I've been saying this now. I've been drilling this into my head, into your head, since the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah. Ein Adam Osur Davar Sheino Shelo. You cannot prohibit something that belongs to you. What I will then do today is I will backtrack a little bit. No, even by...
He can nullify somebody else's.
He can nullify somebody else's.
Doing something that doesn't belong to
him. What about the iron?
But that's not Osur, that's the opposite of Osur.
That's the same idea.
What about the iron heart, though?
No.
Well, wait, one second. So what I will do, however, today is I'm going to backtrack a little bit. We're going to learn today in the Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Daled. Sometimes you can be oster something that does not belong to you, even though that goes contrary to what I've been pounding away at over and over again from the beginning of the Masechta, and you'll see what I mean by that. In the meantime, however, we start off with a very simple brisa, which fits into what we know, which is that if I worship something that belongs to me, right, if I'm an idolater, that object becomes prohibited. Right, and again, according to Rashi, we're talking about an animal. The animal becomes prohibited, again, legavoa. To the mizbeach, cannot be offered as a carbon. If I do it to somebody else's animal, I don't affect it at all. Good. Uriminu, then the Gemara quotes the Tosefta. Now listen carefully, because the Tosefta is gonna really require an understanding. Ezuhu nevad kosha of demoso bein b'shogig bein b'mezid bein b'onis bein b'ratzon. If you have something which is worshipped, it will be prohibited whether it was worshipped b'shogig of amazin. Shogig means I didn't know Avodah Zarah was aser. I know that sounds strange, but that's shogig. Mazid means I know it and I don't care. Bein ba'ones bein b'ratzon, whether you did it against your will or whether you did it willingly. Now Rashi tells us that there's no difference between ratzon and mazid. It's the same thing. We just want, the reason why the Gemara speaks in this language, the Tosefta speaks, right, because we want the complementary pieces. We're talking about over here, shogeg and onis. Shogeg and onis are not the same. Shogeg means, I know what I'm doing, I just didn't know that it was usher. That's shogeg.
It doesn't mean you're bowing down just to pick something up.
That's not shogeg. Shogeg is, I know what I'm doing, I just didn't know it was usher. Right, that's shogeg. Right? I didn't know. It was a lack of awareness of outside information. I didn't know it was usher. Or let's say, for example, I wake up in the morning, I didn't know it was Shabbos. Right? I woke up, I thought it was Sunday. That's shogeg. But I knew full well that I'm cooking, I'm driving. I knew all that. I just didn't know that it was Shabbos, or I didn't know that those activities were usher. That's shogeg. Ones is, I did something, but I was coerced. Something against my will. Now, the Braisa says that if I worship something, the ones, the object gets affected. It gets now the status of Avodah Zarah. Now, Hayones Hechidami, Lav Gagon Da'anas Behemoth Chavero, Vishach V'Allah. So the Gemara suggests that it means somebody else bowed down to your animal. Now, you know why the Gemara did that, right? Because the Gemara cannot imagine that's talking about you being coerced to bow to your own animal. Although we'll get to that in a moment. That could be a pshat. But as a first pshat, as an offering, as a first offering of the Braisa, Gemara says ones means somebody else bowed down to it. Because just hard to digest the idea, someone forces you to do something and you didn't want to do that. Right, it is ones. You didn't want to do that, and then your animal should be ulcer. So the Gemara first says somebody else bowed down to your animal. That's the pshat in the Braisa. If that's the correct pshat in the Braisa, now we have a problem, because previously we said you can't affect someone else's animal, and here in this Braisa, assuming our pshat of ones is correct, you can affect somebody else's animal. So here the Gemara now Amar Rami Bar Chama Lo Kegon Shan Suah of Dikocham Vishachav Labehemto Didei. Okay, so the Gemara now says, this is the first answer, the Rami Bar Chama answer, somebody forced you to bow down to the animal. Now, Tosfos, just wait 1 second, there's a lot to do here. Tosfos says, Kagon Shantu of the Kocham Mishach of Labahima Didei. Second Tosfos on the page, Perish, Ansu Sha'amru Lahargo Im Lo Yishachave Me'elav. It's the classic bow to your animal or I will kill you, right? The classic choice. Now, right? Okay. Now we'll talk about what you're supposed to do, but look at the next part of Tosfos. Ein lefareh shekafufu komasa bal karcho. Right. Don't say the pshat in the Gemara is somebody bent you over and physically manipulated you to bow down. Dim Kain Hu Lo Haya Ose Klum. That's nothing, says Tosfos. Elahim asu masa begufa ve'ina demosu davishena shalom. If your body's being physically manipulated, so in other words, you are a puppet, and someone else is not proverbially, but literally, someone's pulling the string, someone's manipulating your body, that's not you. That's for sure not you. What we are discussing is a scenario, says Tosfos, where someone's giving you an option. It's not a pleasant option. Bow down to the animal or die. But every movement that you make is on your own. It's volitionally your movement and your action. Okay, it's just important to realize that that's the discussion we're having.
So this is the one you want you to give up one's life for?
Wait, just 1 second. So Amar Rabbi Chama l'kagonshan su'av de'kocham b'shach v'lebem t'didei. So Maskev l'Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Zera says, wait a second. Ones rachmana patre. Okay, but this falls under the category of ones. And ones rachmana patre. We know that if you are coerced into an action, you are excused from any type of punishment, any type of liability. The case that the Gemara keeps coming back to and again to show that coercion in an action has no liability to it is based on a woman who's raped. So what do you want to say? She committed adultery? Let's say she's a married woman. She committed adultery? No, of course not. She's not going to be punished as a woman who committed adultery. She was coerced into the action. So here also, a person who is essentially forced, again, remember Tosfos, not physically forced, not manipulated, but given a very, very unpleasant choice of either bow to the animal or die. And that certainly is coercion. That's ones. So under those circumstances, you don't do anything to the girl, meaning that she is out of liability. She's not going to get punished.
Is now, this in any way similar to Esther Pakasola?
Similar.
She was very...
Right, similar. Rabbi Kornfeld, on his insights to the Daf, so he quotes Rav Chanan and Rav Chanan Wasserman, and Rav Chanan Wasserman makes the following observation from this Gemara over here. In other words, when somebody does something ba'oni, something does something coercion against his will, so you could say that there is no penalty. Meaning they did the act, but there is simply no penalty. Rav Chanan says we could say it actually even a little bit better, and a little bit stronger. It's not that just there's no penalty, it's that there's no act. Right? Rav Chanan says there's no act that's done. And you see that clearly from the Gemara over here. Because what the Gemara is essentially saying now is that, right, somebody asked you, bow down to the animal or I kill you, which is ones. Right? Someone's forcing you to do it, and the Gemara says the animal's fine. Right. Animal's not nevad. So it's not just that you're not going to get punished. Rav Chanan says it's more than that. See, that you didn't do the act. Okay, right, understood. That's a different story. That's why I want to avoid that right now. Yeah. We'll come back to it, but you're right. In other words, in terms of the halacha, you should be put to death. But that's, you should allow yourself to be killed, but it's still ones. Right? I don't want to confuse the issues right now. Right now we're talking about ones. It's still ones. And if it's ones, the animal should not be affected. Okay.
Wait a second, but the act of the people who were perpetrating this, forcing this person to do, they are committing a bozer. Because they are committing the ultimate act.
Well, no, they're not worshiping it. You're worshiping it.
No, but by them forcing you to do it, yeah, they're actually worshiping.
If they're Jews, now, I understand what you're saying, but we don't. You know,
inmates.
Right. They're the ones. They're the facilitator. You're right, but they're not.
They wouldn't be facilitating this if they were not believing. No,
they believe in it also, but this particular animal that's worshipped, you're doing the act of worshipping. Worshipping is not a mindset. It's not a mental construct. It has to be some sort of.
Right.
It has to be something physical.
Similar to what the Rambam says in a different aspect about Malchus and Shuba, where the person really wants to. It's not him who's sinning. In that essence. So here too, you could say he's not this person.
Correct. I mean, right.
It's that kind of thinking.
Right. It takes some time to really digest the. Where is it? It's in Kobe Shurim. It's in Ksuvas, beginning of Ksuvas. Rabbi Kornfeld quote. So Allah Marava, how call you bechlalos avdeim? So the Gemara says, okay. So now let's remember, we have a steer between two brises. One brisa says that if I worship somebody else's animal, it's fine. The other animal's fine. It's mutter. Another brisa says that beones, that if I do an act of ones, so the animal is going to be prohibited. So what is this ones? So again, remember, the first pshat that the Gemara offered was somebody else worshipped your animal. That's ones. Gemara says no. It's somebody forces you to worship it, but the Gemara says that can't be. Because if somebody forces you to worship it, that's not an act of Avodah Zarah. The Rava goes on to explain like this. The Torah says you're not allowed to worship idolatry. The Torah also says that you're supposed to live by the mitzvahs and not die by the mitzvahs. But then the Torah says you can't create a chalal shem, which means that even if somebody asks you, you need to worship the animal, you need to not worship the animal because that creates chalal shem. Ha-ketzad, habit, sinah, habit, farhesia. So they're going to make a distinction between sinah versus farhesia. Sinah versus farhesia means privately versus publicly. Now we can have the discussion of, well, aren't you supposed to give up your life? Sometimes the answer is, yeah, you are supposed to give up your life. So, and it depends whether you're in public or you're in private. If you're in public, you're supposed to give up your life, chilah Hashem. If you're in private, then you're not supposed to give up your life. Okay? And so therefore, now we do have a pshat in the Braisa. The pshat in the Braisa is, you are in a public area, there's now an aspect of chilah Hashem, someone goes over to you and says to you, bow down to the animal, and now you must answer and you must say, I can't because it's chilah Hashem. Now everyone in this room right now should be bothered by the following. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about Avodah Zarah. Isn't Avodah Zarah one of the big three?
Right.
So what difference does it make whether you're in private or in public? It's the big three. So I will tell you that right now, Rava is entertaining the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Second time in the Masechta we've been doing this. Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that there is no big three. According to Rabbi Yishmael, it's either public or private. In private, Chai Behem, you live by the mitzvahs, you don't die by the mitzvahs. In public, so chilah Hashem.
That's the opinion. Three in public?
There's no. Yeah. There's no big three. Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael doesn't have big three.
So for him, what is considered? What do you have to give your life?
Chilah Hashem.
Anything
publicly.
What is considered public?
In front of 10 people.
10 people.
Yep.
But even under extreme stress, in public, you would be chayav.
Yeah. In other words, I'm not saying it's an easy thing. It's right. It's right. This is the hardest. Rabbi Akiva spent his life, you know, questioning whether or not he would do it. He ended up giving up his life, but it's not easy. But still, that's the halacha. So habits and habit farhesia. So and Tosfos is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So Tosfos, you want to read Tosfos' reaction, because the Gemara is giving us an entire discussion of this issue of ones in the context of Rabbi Shmuel. Does that mean we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel? Look at the second line of Tosfos. Vikasha, dechas v'shalom shenifsok avodes kochavim yava v'lo yarog. Right, Tosfos is it's not a light reaction. It's a strong reaction too. Don't think for a moment that the Gemara, just because it's talking in Rabbi Yishmael language, means that that's the psak halacha. It's not. And then Tosfos goes on, just wanted to show you that one line in Tosfos, right, chas v'shalom, like God forbid, that's not how we paskin. But in the context of learning the Gemara, the point is still made. There are times when you need to give up your life, and that's not ones. And now we have a pshat. We're good now. Meaning that in the first braisa, You worship somebody else's animal, you don't affect it at all. In the second braisa, ba'ones, the animal is usur. What's the case of ones? The case is, somebody says to you, you need to worship that animal or I put you to death.
Even if you don't go to Yishmael, we still agree
with it. Right, that's exactly the point. In other words, in principle, we agree with the idea.
Yeah. We agree in his case, in that case, in the,
correct, correct, correct.
So it's a combined. I mean, we accept the three, but we go with the Rabbi Yishmael.
We don't paskin like Rabbi Yishmael.
No, but this would be three.
Right, but the but in
three privately.
Right, and in public, correct, correct. So habitzin habifar hasi. I'm a le rabban le ravas, and the chacham said the rava tanya the messiah lech. Beautiful. We have a brisa that so, that totally supports your position. Be moses of the chacham b'shag zerah apishag zerah betela. Osam be moses lo batlu. The bimos do not become batlu. I'm lehu imishum halo to sayeya. Amy saw mama have upach le beratzon. The gemara says no. That brisa over there, I don't want to hear from that brisa because it does not mean that the Jew was forced. I subscribe to the position that probably there was a mummer there who willingly, voluntarily bowed down to the statue. Rav Ashi Amar Lo Tema Emar Elavada Yisrael Mummer Hu Palach Leberatzon. And Rav Ashi says it even stronger. And he says, no, for sure there was a mummer in that brisa that bowed down to the thing. Good. So far, let's make sure that we're clear in terms of organization of this daf. One brisa says I cannot affect an animal that belongs to somebody else. Another brisa says that ba'ones, I can, the animal becomes usur. Right now, pshat number one, Rava's pshat is, ones here means I was supposed to give up my life, I didn't, that's why the animal becomes usur. Okay, that's pshat number one. Chizkiah goes about it in a different approach. Chizkia Amar. Answer number two now to this tira. Look at Rashi Chizkia Amar. Rashi writes, La'olam ones diktani sharnas behemes chavero. We're going to go back to the first suggestion the Gemara made, which the Gemara originally discarded. And Chizkia says, no, we're going back to it. I was ones over here means that somebody worshipped another person's animal. That's what ones means. So how did you affect? How? Yeah, and these are. I'm not sure. Right. I'm not sure if it's making them make a difference. And Amar Kigon Shenisech Lavodes Kochavim Yayin Al Karneha. And I poured wine on the horns of the animal. Now, just one second. We have to go through a Luma Gemara first before we get a full understanding of what's going on. Maskala Rav Adabarava Hai Navadhu Hai Bimus Baamahu. So the Gemara says the animal over there is a bimus, it's a pedestal. Visharya and pedestals, just because a little wine is poured on the pedestal, what's that? Elama Rav Adabarava Kagon, Shinisakh Layan, Bain Karneha, the Avad Bay Maisa. Pouring wine between the horns of the animal, meaning that the animal itself was worshipped with the pouring, and that's why the animal becomes usur. Meaning, Chizkiah's answer over here is a big chiddush, and something new that we haven't seen in the Masechta. Even though I can't prohibit something that belongs to somebody else, if I do a maisa to somebody else, I can prohibit it. That's the difference. The difference is Maisa.
The first one is
bomb
and the second one is
poor. Here Rav Yochanan says it straight out. If I bow down to somebody else's animal, it doesn't affect the other animal at all. Asaba Maisa, Asra. But once I do an action, the animal becomes Asra. We're hearing the same thing in Bavel. Right, that which you're hearing in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rav Yochanan, we're hearing it in Bavel. An animal, somebody else's animal, not yours, is squatting in front of Avodah Zarah. You shecht the animal, it's not yours. The animal becomes prohibited. Now, here prohibited means it actually is Takrovas Avodah Zarah. Right, and that means that you can't get hana from the animal. Minalan da'asra ilema. Now, where do we get this idea from? Because it's really a mechurishtik idea that if I do a maisa to somebody else's animal, the animal becomes asra.
We are under the principle that any act that you have done in Beit HaMikdash would have been a maisa abodah zarah. So this guy basically is sacrificing an animal.
Right, correct. So correct. It's a sacrifice of abodah zarah. The chiddush is that it wasn't mine. It wasn't my animal. Somebody else's animal, and it still is takrovas avodah zarah. Now, where does this idea come from? Minah landa asra ilam amakohanim. So, what do you want to tell me? It's from the kohanim. We learned just a couple days ago that a kohen that serves avodah zarah is disqualified. Damashani kohanim debnei dea nino. The Gemara says, so what? So, that's a kenas. That's a fine. That's a penalty. That doesn't tell me that if I do a maaser that to somebody else's object, I'm going to prohibit that object. Elami Avni Mizbeach. So the Gemara says maybe it comes from Avni Mizbeach. Right? Rashi tells us this goes back to what we learned yesterday. The Malche Beis Chashmonai took the stones of the Mizbeach and put them in Geniza because they were worshipped by others. Rashi writes, Bishim Deshikza Malche Yavan Lavos Kochavim. The Alpha Gav De Hektesh Havu Velo Yachla Ove Kochavim La Asran. Now you'll say, well, what can the Greeks do? Greeks can't prohibit the Mizbeach. Afilo Hachi, Rashi writes, came into Avod Maisa, Asrin and Rabbanan. They did a Maisa, and once they did a Maisa, the Chachamim answered it. The Dilma Kedera Papa, the Gemara says, maybe that was based on a Pasuk. Right, Amakrash Kacham V'Dar Shiyasa L'Chula V'Kanus Havde Chacham V'Yachul Asran. Right, but maybe that doesn't translate to general principle that once I do a Maisa to somebody else's thing, so then I'm going to make it Asr. Ella Mikalim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could see it from the case of the Kalim. Remember, Chizkiyahu had Achaz as a father, an idolater as a father, and the pasuk that we quoted yesterday, and we're about to quote right now, tells us that he was gonez, that he put aside all the kelim of his father. It's called a kelim asher hiznich hamelch achaz b'machuso b'malo heichanu v'igdashnu va'amar mar. Right, we just did this. Heichanu shegan zenun. He put them in Geniza. And he replaced them. How can Achaz effectuate the kelim of the Beit Hamikdash? It's a rulu. Asru.
But isn't that case potentially a little bit different because he was actually of the Malach, so it's not so clear that it wasn't his.
I'm going to add to you, Steve. I like that. I'm going to add to that also. It's the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. You could also distinguish and say, I can't use it for Beis Hamikdash activity. The Gemara over here is going a whole lot further than that. The Gemara is saying over here, it becomes chefter shel avodah zarah, right? And it's right. It is a little bit strange, but still, just the idea that you can affect something that doesn't belong to you through a maisa. So the Gemara says we learn it from the kelim. More about this idea that even though things that cannot be affected normally through a simple bowing, like property, like land, we can't affect land. If I dig holes in the land becomes asur. It's not clear from the Gemara how much land, meaning even the spaces between the holes. Gemara's not clear about that. That requires more analysis. Ki also Rav Shmuel, even if it is your own land, land is usually impervious to avodah zarah. But once you dig holes in it, so now you can actually make the land a chefter shel avodah zarah.
Well, it might be that the hole is not the land.
Right. That's why I don't know. I don't know what the Gemara is incorporating in that statement. Correct.
It's the absence.
It's right. Ki also Rav Yishmo Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Yochanan Fafish Amar Meshach V'la Balei Chaim Lo Asran Asa Chalipin La'Avodas Kochavim Asran. If I make an exchange of Avodah Zarah with an animal, the animal becomes Asar. Ki also Rav and Amar Pligi Bar Rav Yishmo Bar Rav Yosef Rabban Chanamar Chalipin Asran Chalipin Chalipin Mutarin V'Chanamar Afilo Chalipin Chalipin Nami Asurin. Does the Isser, meaning here's an idol, can I swap you my animal for your idol? Sure, great. Now the animal is in exchange for an idol, the animal becomes Asr, right? We'll see the pasuk in just a moment. How about if I swap another item for the animal? Does the Isser bounce from one object to the next object to the next object? In other areas of halacha, the answer is yes, it does. So the Gemara says that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, subject to a debate. My time in demand Amar Chalipa Chalipa Nasur and Amar Krav Yisachem Kamohu. Kol she'ata mehayeh mimenu. Anything that exists on account of this, meaning that anything that's exchanged for this, and even something that's exchanged for the object in which it was exchanged for, it all now takes on the status of Avodah Zarah. Harehu Kamohu. And the other position says, no, who is always a miut, it's only a one-time transfer of Isser. No, the hahu is coming to tell me, this is not true by Arla and Klai Karen. Let's say by Arla. We know Arla, fruit of a tree for the first 3 years, is Isser Behana. I cannot take the fruit and go over to a woman and say, I want to be mikdashi with this fruit. Can't. Doesn't work. What if, I'm not allowed to do this, but what if I sell the arla? I'm not allowed to do that. But what if I do it? Does the money that I have in exchange take on the isser hana like the arla? No, it doesn't. And with that money, I can be mikdashi a woman. That would work. She machram v'kirish b'demehem mikudeshes. And that's what Hahu is coming to tell me. That even though this concept is true by Avodah Zarah, that the exchange for Avodah Zarah takes on the Isser of Avodah Zarah, and the Isser Hana of the Avodah Zarah, it's not true by Arla, it's not true by Klai Karen. V'idach Arla v'Klai Karen, lo tzricha mi'uta, ta'avilu Avodah Zarah, chamish v'yishnei k'suvim v'am k'echad, v'chol shnei k'suvim v'am k'echad, ein melamdim. I don't need a mi'ut, because I already know through other methods of drasha that this idea that the object that I exchange for generally does not take on the Isser. I know it because two times the Torah says it does take on the Isser. If the Torah only said it one time, that's a binyanah, that's called a precedent. But when the Torah goes twice out of its way to tell me it takes on the Isser, those are the exceptions, not the rule. Avodas Kochavim Hada Amran Shviyas Techsiv. Where do we know by Shemitah this is true? The pasuk says ki yovel hi kodesh shiyeh lachem. Hakodesh tofes es damav v'asur ashviyas tofes es damav v'asura. Im hakodesh tofes es damav v'yotze lechulam ashviyas tofes es damav v'yotze lechulam tamar lomar tiyeh v'yahavyasa teheh. If I exchange something for peiro shviyas, the object I exchange it for takes on the kedusha of peiro shviyas. Hakeitzad, the Gemara gives very clear example. Lakach b'peiro shviyas basar. I go to town and I say to the butcher, look, I have peiro shviyas. I want to swap you my peiro shviyas for your meat. So, elu ve'elu mitbar b'shviyas. They both have kedusha. The fruit still has its kedusha, and the meat that I swapped it out for will have its kedusha. Lasa b'basar dogim, yatsa basar nechnas dogim. If I then take the meat and swap it for fish, the fish now has the kedusha. The meat doesn't, because the kedusha transfers over to the fish does. B'dagim b'yayim yatsa dogim nechnas yayin. Yayin shemen yatsa yayin nechnas shemen. Ha-keitza, now the Gemara wraps that up. Acheron nitfas b'shviyas u'pri atzmo aser. The original fruit always has kedusha shviyas. And the object I exchange it for, the last one always will have that kedusha as well. V'idach, now that I have shnei k'suvim mavayim ke'echad, that there's a tfisa kedusha for Shemitah, for Avodah Zarah, those two are the exception, not the rule. What about the other position that holds I need a miut? There's an opinion out there that says Shnei K'suvim B'Am K'Echad is Malamdim. V'itzrich hu lema'atinu. Therefore, I need the word hu to be mamayit. Okay? A little bit complicated, but still, if you follow, you will see that it all works out. Again, the basics of today. Pedestals of Avodah Zarah. So our Mishamshi Avodah Zarah are going to be Asr Bahana'ah. We talked about perhaps the kings giving up on the pedestals, and once they do, it's Mevato. But the big discussion for today was the discussion of Onis. If someone forces you to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, so in the world of Rabbi Yishmael, you don't need to give up your life privately. In public, you do. If someone asks you to do it privately, since you don't have to give up your life, it's not an act of Avodah Zarah. Remember the big chiddush of Rav Chanan Wasserman for this morning, that if you're ba'ones, it's not an act. It's as if you didn't even do it. And then we had a lengthy discussion today about how you can prohibit something that does not belong to you. Generally, ein adam oser davar sheino shelo, but with a maisa, with an action, you can be oser davar sheino shelo, something that does not belong to you. Okay, good. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the new Mishnah.